Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
In this audiocast number 15, some Southern Oregon pot-smoking fisherman is going to school me in the life of virtues, and he's going to tell me how to be a better priest. I hope this doesn't go up in smoke.
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. I am not a fisherman. I am not an outdoorsy type. I like the outdoors, don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm a recluse or anything. But I'm just not a dude who just hangs out outdoors. And on top of that, I don't smoke pot. And that is kind of the subject of today's show, where I meet someone very interesting, someone that wouldn't necessarily talk to a priest, and you'll hear how he'll admit it. You'd never talk to a priest this way, but he had so much to offer me. His name is Marcus Mayorca. He works for an outfitter in Southern Oregon, and me and a few priests, we went out on a fishing expedition on kayaks just to make it even more challenging. And you get a chance to hear our deep dish discussion where he actually gave me one of the best definitions of the virtue of humility. And he actually gave me a ton of insight on how I could be a better priest, a better fisher of man, as Jesus calls me to be anyway. And so in this little appetizer for what I call, it's not a light show in terms of a topic. We actually talk about pot. We talk about his future, just what it means to be part of a dude culture, and then making decisions and discernment. But it's all done within a pleasant experience where I actually have done some cooking. I feed him. And then, of course, that loosens up the truth, especially with a couple beers being served. And he just really shared with me what life is like. And it was not only enlightening, it was also challenging, but also, at the same time, very encouraging. So in this little amuse-bouche appetizer part of my show, I've got a couple little silly jokes for you. Actually, they're kind of funny. Here's one. What kind of music do you listen to while fishing? Beats me. The answer is something catchy. Ba-dum-bum. Again, I kind of need my own sound effects here. Oh, here's another one. Why didn't Noah do much fishing on the ark? The answer? He only had two worms. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's my little appetizer amuse-bouche for you as we enter into a deep dish discussion on all things about dudes in Southern Oregon. Fisherman, pot smoker, But you know what? We got a lot in common. You'll hear why when we return for more Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, and our deep dish discussion. And this episode is brought to you by the World Meeting of Families 2018, where you could learn about how in Dublin, Ireland, Pope Francis will be hosting the World Meeting of Families from August 21st through the 26th, 2018. And the theme is the Gospel of the Family, Joy for the World. It is going to be an opportunity for families to come together and celebrate the gospel message all together as a family with speakers from around the country and around the world, including yours truly. So be sure to register for this exclusive event that only happens every 3 years. And from what I understand, the organizers have told me they've already maxed out the numbers, but they're still going to continue to try to grow it even more, increasing their venue space. So guess what? If you want to be part of the World Meeting of Families, you just got to register at worldmeeting2018.ie. Once again, worldmeeting2018.ie, and see you in Ireland. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. I am here in Southern Oregon or Northern California, in between someplace. I'm not quite sure exactly. And I'm a little bit on vacation, and I went on this amazing kayaking trip thing, and I met some of the coolest people who, first of all, helped me to not die, all right? And secondly, helped me and my priest friends find fish. And so, hey, listen, I'm called to be a fisherman, which is why I am inviting onto this really cool Shoot the Shiitake this guy named Marcus Mayorga. He is a guide. And tell us, where do you work, Marcus?
I work for South Coast Tours on the Oregon coast here. Owner Dave Lacey, super cool guy. This is my first year on the show over here, and working with Dave.
And we were your very first clients ever.
For a fishing tour. They were my first clients ever, and it was kind of crazy to see you guys first roll in, and you're like, yeah, we're four priests, and you're like, okay.
When you saw us coming down kind of like the gangway there, what were you thinking? It's like, they look pretty healthy. The little guy looks like he's a weakling.
No, the little guy being me. We initially, like, we all had our thoughts, and it's like, I had heard.
What are your thoughts when you
get a
tour?
We thought you were a group with, you're going to be a dad with three of his sons. from Arkansas, because I saw the area code phone number, and I'm like, oh, these guys are from Arkansas. Okay,
so a dad with three sons.
That's what
you
were expecting.
See, four grown men, well, at least three grown men and a halfling.
Yeah. And then we found out you guys were priests, and we were like, okay,
No, but when you saw
us
walking down, what did you automatically think? Just like, who are these three dudes?
Not exactly.
You didn't think anything. You just saw four guys walking down, and you're like, oh, they're not family.
Yeah, we were just like, oh, these are our clients for the day.
Just four dudes, and then we said we were priests. And then what crossed your mind at that moment?
It was definitely this is a first, you know, having four priests out on kayak fishing.
Okay, and so before I get into the meaty part of the questions, we just had dinner. If you hear anything in the background, it's because these three priests are actually doing some cleaning up, and that's the deal. I do the cooking, they do the cleaning, and let me just ask, how was the food?
Food was awesome. Way better than ramen noodles.
And Marcus, that's exactly why I have you on this show. You are, how old are you?
I'm 22.
And tell me a little bit about your background. Where are you from and how you got here to Oregon?
So I'm originally from Southern California, Huntington Beach, which is about an hour south of Los Angeles.
Yep.
But I grew up there my whole life. Initially from Garden Grove, then to Huntington Beach.
Okay.
And then I came over here.
But what were you doing over there? I mean, like, what was your big thing?
It was sports.
Sports.
Yep. Eat, sleep, breathe, sports. Baseball, basketball, football.
Okay, sports versus girls. Which was a president for you?
It was sports for the longest time.
Don't lie to a priest, man.
That's what I wanted to do. I never envisioned myself doing anything other than sports. It was like, that was life.
And so playing sports, it's just playing sports. Did you want to be a professional athlete?
Yeah, that was
And what area, what sport would you do?
Baseball.
Baseball. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so you wanted to play baseball professionally, and then all of a sudden there's a change. And here's why I'm asking this, because there's a lot of people who think they know what they want to do,
And all of a sudden, something changes in them. And I'm trying to get to the heart of your experience, because my listeners are going to be thinking, hey, I want to do this. And as long as they open up their mind to other possibilities, they can do something different. So what happened for you?
It was about my first or second year in junior community college. I was still playing baseball.
Yep.
But I was getting burnt out. I'd done this so long, so many hours a day.
Wow.
And I was, you know, kind of, I was doing it because I was like, this is all I know. And then my brother came home one day with a perch fishing rod set up. And I'm like, what are you doing with that? What are you fishing for?
Because
we grew up lake fishing, right? And I'm like, we live 10 minutes from the ocean.
Okay.
But I'd never thought to fish it. I don't know why.
What did you use the ocean for? Hanging out
beach
at the beach?
Workouts?
Okay, and by the way,
and
people,
boogie boarding.
Marcus is healthy, and therefore he makes me sick. In a Christian kind of way, I'm jealous of him. But anyway, so you never really thought about fishing in the ocean, and then what happens?
He's like, let's go out tomorrow. And I'm like, okay.
Is this a younger brother?
My younger brother, yeah.
Hold on a second. This automatically reminds me of Andrew, the younger brother, saying to his brother Peter, hey, this is awesome. Keep going.
Okay. So he comes home with this new setup, and he's like, okay, let's go fish the ocean. I'm like, oh yeah, let's go tomorrow. So I went and I got our old trout rod setups, rigged it up for some surf perch. And we were just throwing grubs on a Carolina rig.
What are grubs?
Like little sandworms, I guess, or like little
Do you
baits.
Buy them, or do you just...
You can buy them in a pack.
So you bought some grubs,
yeah.
Put them on a hook, and then you started throwing them out.
Just started throwing them out, and okay. I caught the first one.
What did you catch?
Perch.
Just you caught a
little
perch?
Tiny, yeah, perch, like surf perch.
Okay.
I don't know how to describe them.
Okay,
like
I know
Like the beluga of the ocean, maybe?
Sure, yep.
I was hooked. In a literal sense, I was hooked. I was like, man, this is...
You were hooked. You hooked a fish. I'm kind of loving this right now. And then you said, as soon as you caught this fish, what kind of experience did you have?
It was just complete presence. And it was just...
What does that mean for you? Complete presence.
Just totally being in the moment. And just all of a sudden, my surroundings just... It didn't matter what else was going on. It was I was fishing at the beach. And it was just...
Wow.
It was peaceful. And that's... It just kept... I kept... wanting to do that over and over and over again. That's all I wanted to do. And I started like ditching anatomy class and stuff to go perch fishing.
So I'm not telling your parents that you were ditching school. So you were just doing fishing. And here's the thing for me. Fishing looks from the outside very boring. How do you explain that to a person that it's not? Because you're just sitting there.
The anticipation though too is a big part of it. And I don't know, for me, sometimes it's like my mind goes under the water, and it's like I'm trying to envision where that fish is or what my bait's doing or what the surface looks like underneath the water.
Okay.
Things like that, too.
That's
and then also
deep.
Fishing just takes me to these awesome places, like just kayaking out in the ocean or being on remote rivers or backcountry lakes.
So let's talk a little bit about that. So you get hooked, your brother brings you to a deeper experience of fishing, and then all of a sudden you are in this moment, and this is almost a revelation for you. You want to make your life based on fishing. How did you wind up in Oregon from Southern California to Southern Oregon?
I guess fishing, in a sense, is because it was 2 weeks before they had all the deadlines for colleges applications to
yep,
put them in,
yep,
and
yep.
I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. I didn't know where I wanted to go. My major was kinesiology, but
for
I was
sports.
Just doing that because it had to do something with, you know, relative to sports.
And you were getting burned out.
I was getting burnt out. You know, I'd done this my whole life, and I was kind of looking for a change and to go out of state somewhere. And it's like, okay, we have family that lived in Southern Oregon.
Okay.
And so my mom came. She's like, why don't you check out that university close
Southern
to your
Oregon.
Aunt and uncle's house?
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll check it out.
And so let me ask you this: your family, an intact family? Mom and dad together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And your brothers, you've got two other brothers?
Two younger brothers.
Two younger brothers, and you're just a bunch of California dudes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bunch of California dudes. Yeah.
You sound like one. You look like one. I mean, and so you've got the goatee, you've got the scruff, you've got the hat, and you've got just like the dude clothes. Yeah, put the shades on. And then you said, I am going to go up to Oregon and ditch kinesiology. And what did you do?
It was all because when I was looking online, it was a major called Outdoor Adventure Leadership, and I saw fly fishing.
Okay.
It was one of those classes.
Fly fishing.
So immediately, I was like, okay, any major that you can take fly fishing as one of your elective classes, that's what I'm going
to
do.
Do you feel called to being a fisherman? Like, do you sense this almost like a calling?
Maybe.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out, because you ditched something that you passionately loved, and now you've got another kind of love. Are you going to ditch fishing too, or is that going to be something different?
I don't see it me ditching it anytime
You don't
soon.
See you ditching it?
No, because I know how it makes me feel, and when I catch a fish, and if I can bring that to other people, like we did
which
in a sense for you guys the other day.
Which is exactly
it,
what I
initially
I'm
started
about.
Just like, you know, when I bought my first kayak so I could go out in the harbors and catch fish. And it's like, man, you know, I would take my younger brother and my friends and stuff. It's like, let's go fishing, you know? And to see the look on their face when they would catch a fish and they'd pull it out and they'd be like, well, that ain't no bluegill, you know?
Well, okay, so here's the thing, though. I always thought that fishing was boring. What do you have to do for your clients to make it not boring? Like, what are some of the techniques? You just have to catch fish.
Yeah.
So you have to be good at it. Tell me, what are some techniques to catch fish? And the reason why I'm asking is because my boss, named Jesus, asked me to be a fisher of men, and there's a technique. He was a carpenter. He was not a fisherman, but he knew that I had to catch fish. So give me some techniques on how to catch fish. What would you say are some of the top things you've got to teach a novice who would rather be cooking and eating the fish than catching it?
Well, probably the easiest way, if you're looking to catch fish, for those people who don't have the ocean nearby, and the lakes are usually stocked with like bass or trout, mainly trout. That's kind of the lake fishing that I grew up with. If you just throw out power bait.
Sure. I don't know what's power bait.
Power bait is like a super scented dough. You just put on the end of a hook and you cast it out there with like a, you can put a bobber and rig it underneath the bob, or a weight.
So in other words, you have to have good bait.
Good bait, yeah.
And so what's the best kind of bait? You said the super dough or the super?
Yeah, you can use power bait, but I mean, Panther Martins.
This a brand?
Lures.
Oh, by the way, Panther Martin, they are not sponsors of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
Lures, swim baits.
So you got to have good bait. What else do you need? What are you going to teach like a novice fisherman? Like me. Like I hadn't been fishing and I got crabbing.
You need a proper rod and reel as well.
Okay, so you have to have a good bait, you have to good equipment, and then how about technique? Because is there any real technique? I've actually watched fishing shows where they're literally teaching people how to fish, and I'm thinking, isn't this kind of luck, though?
A lot of it can be luck.
Okay, but what's the technique to make it work worthwhile?
Techniques, when you mention techniques, I'm thinking like different styles of fishing. So like what we were doing the other day is jigging, which doesn't involve really any casting, because you're fishing heavy weights on a conventional reel.
Okay.
And then there's spinning reels where you use for casting purposes, and then you can go into fly fishing as well.
Okay. But just like regular fishing, you know, like that you would imagine. What would you call that again that we were doing? Jigging?
Jigging.
Explain what jigging is for my listeners here.
Just drop the bait down to the bottom.
Yep.
Just lift the rod up and down. That's it.
So it's not that technical.
It's not that technical.
And then at that point, it's luck.
At that point, yeah, it's finding where the fish are. But then you can get, you know, in your local area, you know where the fish tend to hang out.
And interesting. For me, you have to know where the fish are hanging out. And you're paying attention to all of the environment then, correct?
Yeah, totally.
So you're paying attention more than just the fishing.
There's
paying attention to the environment.
Scouting involved too, especially when you're in a new area.
Okay.
It's just going, it's just trial and error.
Okay,
and
so it is trial and error.
And you can easily boost that trial and error by talking to your local tackle shops or local fishermen and just getting a sense of where the fish generally are. So like when I first came up here, it's like, okay, the fish are by the rocks.
Okay,
where do you find the rocks? Rocks are by the kelp.
Okay.
And also the big rocks sticking out of the water.
So there's like fish, different fish. He's going to get another beer. Thank you, Father Brian, for giving my guest here on Shoot the Shiitake. And thanks for dropping it on the table very loudly, by the way. And I'm talking to Marcus, and you're teaching me some of the techniques of fishing. You're basically, some of it is luck. Some of it is environment, paying attention to it, making sure you have the right equipment, good bait, and then trial and error. You just got to keep trying
persistence. You got to keep going at it.
So now when you took these four priests out, first of all, did we look like priests?
Like, no.
What did you think we were? Like, what did you think we were? Just four dudes or just like?
I don't know. I've never seen priests outside of being in mass. So it's kind of cool. You're like, you guys are chill dudes.
Dudes, you just heard a dude call Priest dudes. I am loving this. And then when you saw us out there, because some of our guys are pretty expert at paddling, you know, and on the kayak. I mean, was your mind thinking, it was like, dude, these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, even just kayaking out there, I forget who it was, but, you know, out of the adrenaline or whatever, the excitement of getting out there, it's like, okay, I'm the guy. It's like, I should kind of be out in front. And I'm trying to catch up to him, but I'm like, ah, I can't. I'm like, these guys know, look like they know what they're doing, so I'm just going to let them roll. Yeah, okay.
Father Tim. Yeah, Father Tim. And then let me ask you this, though, because there are going to be some people out there who are even less qualified than me, and I'm pretty unqualified. How many times did you have to save my rod from getting stuck on a rock? Like, at least 8 or 10 times.
Yeah.
Now, is that annoying? Is that annoying for you, though?
Nah, I loved it. Because, I mean, my main thing was getting over there as quick as I could, because I just wanted to get you guys on fish. So it's like, you know, pretty much the whole time, it was, even when you guys weren't getting stuck, I'm preparing for the next time you're gonna get stuck by rigging up new setups so I can just go over there and be like, here, switch me out, you know, so I can give you this one, because I want to get you guys on
you
fish.
You did that for me at least 10 times.
I love to watch other people catch fish, because I know
how that feels for me. Isn't that interesting? That is a beautiful thought. You enjoy catching fish, and all you want to do is share that experience. And by the way, I did catch something. Why don't you explain to my listeners what I caught, because I'm kind of proud of the fact that I caught it.
It's a big rock.
I caught a real fish, you big jerk.
No, we caught some. Hey, you caught a couple devils and some rockfish.
I did.
A cabazon, pulled out a cabazon. Crazy looking.
Big,
guess,
ugly fish, and I couldn't even.
Ugly fish.
I couldn't even keep it. Now, that is something I want to ask you before we take a little break. And I'm going to make some bananas Fosters for you as a dessert. And then I just want to continue just a little bit more of a conversation here about Oregon and the culture of being a dude. Because let me tell you, when I came through Oregon and through, I had no idea how many pot stores there were. And so I kind of want to hear a little bit about what it's like for a young college kid studying to be a wilderness adventure dude and then helping out some priests. So we're going to get to that. But this whole catch and release thing, I know that sounds like an illegal immigration kind of thing, but that's what you guys do when you fish, right? You catch it and you release it, because you catch sharks, don't you?
Yeah, occasionally back in Southern California I fish, but usually I'm catch and release, and even before, like, fishing
What's
out here.
What's the point? Why don't you just
eat it? It's just the joy
of
fishing for it.
So catching and then releasing it, that makes you feel good.
Yep.
How about if you catch a really big one? Don't you want to mount it?
No,
show that off?
No, because the big one, the big rockfish, those are the ones that reproduce the most. Some of those rockfish can live up to like 60, 70 plus years. So it's like it's humbling to pull out a fish like that and see this thing is.
You said the
three
word
three times.
You literally said the word that I'm thinking. What does humble mean to you? Because that's what it sounds like to me. I just want to hear what you, a dude studying like something outdoorsy. Because you just said it. It's humbling.
Fishing, it's just...
No, in life. What do you think humbling is to you? I just want to hear what your thoughts are on that. And it's not a test. Although I am grading you at this very moment. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, just having an experience that puts things into perspective. Maybe it just like takes you out of yourself and you see things from a 30,000 foot view and you're like, wow. It makes you say wow. And it's just presence, I guess. Is how I would describe it. It's just totally in the moment. Nothing else matters, and it's just in awe of something, you know, whatever experience that might be. And for me, a lot of times that's catching fish.
Dude, I love this. And yes, I'm starting to be a dude. I just called you one. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna make you some bananas Fosters, and then we're gonna come back, and I'm just gonna finish off with just a few more questions, because you know what, I am learning a lot from you. So when we come back, more with Marcus. Fishing, the whole pot culture here in Southern Oregon, and I am learning how to be a good fisher of men from some pretty cool dudes out here that I've met, including my special guest, Marcus. We'll be right back with more Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo.
We have a special food and faith retreat in Italy, visiting the countryside of Emilia-Romagna, the Piedmont area, and of course Tuscany on October 1st through the 11th, 2018. All you've got to do is call Select International Tours at 800-842-4842. In my last checking, they only have 5 spots available, so be sure to come for this exclusive experience where, guess what, me and a chef from the local region, we're actually going to be cooking for you our meal and sharing you insights that will truly feed you body, mind, and soul. So join me for a food and faith retreat in the Tuscany area, October 1st through the 11th, 2018. And just simply go to fatherleofeeds.com/travel for more information or call Select International Tours at 800-842-4842.
Hey, and welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, and I've got a special awesome guest. His name is Marcus. He works at South Coast Tours here in Southern Oregon, and if you hear music in the background, it's because I'm just hanging out with a bunch of priest friends. We just had some Bananas Fosters. Guys, did you enjoy that? Okay, I'll just tell you this. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but one of the priests said that the Bananas Fosters sauce is like crack. Now, not that he would know, but it is that addictive. And have you ever had Bananas Fosters, Marcus?
No.
Okay, so you are eating some new foods here. So you're trying some new things. And when you moved out of Southern California to Southern Oregon, there was a whole new world for you. Tell me, what are some of the new cultural experiences of Oregon? Because it's very different from California, right?
Yeah, people drive a lot slower. I mean, I would drive like an hour from Grants Pass to Ashland, and frankly, driving was pretty easy because it's traffic there or back roads here, and I like driving as it is anyway. I put on my tunes, and I like to cruise, so here, I feel like I fit right in because it's like, you know, initially I'm going pretty fast, and I'm like, these people are like, I'm passing them up like crazy, and I'm like, okay, this is how we do it here, so pull over to the right lane.
What kind of car do you drive?
A truck, Ram 1500, 98, older truck.
Older truck. And what kind of tunes are you listening to when you're like being cool and cruising?
Country.
Country?
Country. And then I kind of evolved. Oh, I mean, my main go-tos were always country music, classic country. Like the new stuff.
Like classic country is like, I'm depressed like, myself, my dog died, my grandmother died.
No. I mean, I consider classic country now to be like anything that's not what's on the radio.
Okay, and the reason why I'm interviewing, ladies and gentlemen, once again, is because he's a 22-year-old dude, and he is just a cool guy. And how often does a priest talk to you, Marcus? A priest has never just come up and talked with you, right?
No.
And how many times have you talked to a priest?
Only in, like, confession, I guess.
so you're Catholic. You just kind of dropped that little bomb on us here.
Yeah.
I didn't even ask you necessarily, at least on air, but we're not even going to talk about that because I kind of just want to hear about the culture. Besides people driving slower, what else is different from Southern California to Southern Oregon?
The weed replaces the beer, almost.
The weed replaces the beer. I mean, that is so true. I want to talk to you about that because as we're driving through here, there is pot store after pot store. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. What do they call these places?
Pot store, weed store.
Okay, so weed stores. Okay, and let me just tell you, this isn't a confession, and you don't even have to answer this, but have you done the weed?
Yeah, I've done.
You've done the weed?
Yeah.
And would you do that before you came to Oregon, or is this
not
like...
Not really. No, it was like... All new to me when
it was
I came up here.
Totally new to you. And then what was it that made you do it?
Because everybody else was. I mean, it was just totally, I mean, like, I would go and hang out with my friends and it would be like, I would be the guy with the brew, you know, and there might be one other guy.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, like, everybody else, it was just so common. It was like, here, man, have a beer. It's like,
So weed is just like breathing for these people.
I mean, like, not like just like breathing, but I mean, it's just accepted.
Okay, it's just totally accepted.
It's not a taboo or whatever or something.
And for
like
you,
that.
Like, what were kind of the thought process that went into your mind? Be like, should I do it? Shouldn't I do
it? Yeah, initially, yeah, because it's. I mean, I was always told, you know, by my parents and stuff. It's like, don't ever do that. Like, it's you know,
it's a gateway.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. So why did you do it?
I mean, it took me a while to be honest.
Okay.
It was like, initially I stayed away from it because I was, you know, like
Someone's like, hey, man, you want to hit?
I'm not going to do it. I'll be like, no, man, I'm cool. And then eventually it's just like, all right, fine. You know, after so many times, it's like, all right, fine, I'll try it.
And then what was it like? And I mean, I'm not asking you to encourage people, but I am saying, like, what was it like? Just the very honest experience. Some people get sick. Some people.
Yeah, I mean.
Don't like it. I mean, what was your experience?
It kind of brought things into focus a little bit. It was like, all of a sudden, the little things for me, I mean, and now after smoking a little more, it's like different strains can, like some of them, if you get a bad strain or something, they can make you feel real weird or like kind of like anxious or stressful. And then some of them are good and like creative or euphoric kind of, I guess, you know, a lot of people describe it like that. But for me, it was like the little details, like you start to see like the green on the trees, and it's like you start to see like the light and everything, and it's like little details, the flowers and stuff, so, and you're just kind of walking, and it slows things down a little bit.
Is it kind of helping you to experience reality, or is it helping you to kind of avoid reality? And I'm just trying to ask.
I guess it depends on what the definition of reality is, but I guess it could be a little bit of both, because the green on the trees and the flowers and the sunlight shining through and the blue of the ocean and all that, it's all there too. But a lot of the times I think it's that we're so caught up in our minds. It's like, and I noticed that too in my own mind, is that it's just like thoughts and stuff are just really like a monkey mind. It's like running like crazy. It's like, I'm thinking about this, and it's like, it's just kind of like it takes you away from clinging on to your thoughts, and you can just focus on what's in front of you.
So really, so the weed in a way helps you to, depending on what strain it is.
Yeah.
Like, is there like, don't even say the store that you're like, hey, I know this dude. So it'd just be any type of strain of weed, and you'd just say, this one is going to help me to focus, or this is what I use when I want to just chill and relax kind of thing.
It's like the indicas are.
And the feeling that you like is when you can kind of be present and pay attention to.
Yeah, I don't like the details. The total knock you out on the couch. Like.
So what would be kind of your parameter to make a decision on how much to do and what kind to do it? Like, what's your compass to kind of make those decisions?
I mean, I never really smoked. I like just a little bit.
Okay.
To get the creative juices kind of flowing.
Okay.
And to get that. And then, because if I go overboard too much, it's like, I don't know. It's just not me. I don't like.
How do you know when you've gone overboard?
How do I describe that?
Like.
It just kind of, it hits you. And then all of a sudden, like, I guess if you're moving your head or you're looking one way, it's things kind of drag, and they get, it's like, okay.
It's on a delay. Maybe
in on a sense of like, if you're drunk or something.
Okay.
It's like things are delayed, and it's just, it's too spacey maybe.
Okay. And so how do you stay healthy? Because I figure in your job, you need to be kind of healthy. And obviously we know that anything to an abuse is going to become unhealthy. What's your decision-making process to say, here's how I'm going to stay a healthy individual, and where does weed fall into that? Where does drinking fall into that? Where does study fall into that? How do you kind of balance your life? And this is a deep question. And the reason why I'm asking it is because you're a young man, you live in Southern Oregon, you're a dude from Southern California, and you've got a whole world ahead of you. And I was so impressed with you experienced that fish, catching that fish, and then everything became, was that kind of like a weed moment for you, or was it even more clear?
I guess in a way, but it's clear.
It's more clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's
natural.
Natural. Yeah.
So
yeah.
For you, what's going to be your decision-making process with all of this in your life? Because you got a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard question.
I'd say,
like, what keeps you grounded?
Staying true to myself.
Staying true to yourself.
And, in a sense that you can put yourself into certain situations and you feel really uncomfortable, or you feel, or just this whole journey of coming up to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was playing sports and I was just holding on to it because that's all I'd ever known. But then just kind of saying, okay, I'm going to take a shot here and do something different. And you go, it's like, fishing was my thing, so I'm going to follow, I'm going to let this kind of guide me. So fishing is going to take me down this road to this university, this major, into all these different places.
Okay.
And when you make decisions that sit true to yourself.
Sure.
It feels good. And you feel like, okay, I'm here, this is what I'm doing. And it's like, yeah, this is what I'm doing.
And in your job, they don't make a lot of money, do they?
No.
Like, I mean, what would be an average, say, annual salary for someone leading tours, at least in Southern Oregon?
Oh, I mean, like, leading tours, my sense, maybe, I mean, you're not going to make, I really don't know, because there's so much variability.
Over 50?
If you do it year-round, uh-huh. you have good connections and stuff, I'd say you can make 30 to 50.
Okay. And
but you have to be really, really good at your craft and stuff. But for me, just starting out, I can't really speak for that. I'm just doing it because I love the job, and I love taking people out to experience things that I know bring me that presence and peacefulness. And so if I can bring that to them and see the look on their face or the smile or like
sure.
that afterglow moment of like, yeah, we just went kayaking in the sea, or we just went and caught all these fish.
So after you took four priests out, and we caught a lot of fish, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We filled back.
Mean, yeah. Okay, what was your experience? Like, did you reflect on that at all?
Yeah. I mean, you can compare it to any hobby or sport or thing that... So it's like, I don't know, maybe like mountain biking. Like you go and you hit a good trail run or whatever. Yep, yep, like yep. snowboarding or something. It's like, man, or skiing. It's like, man, I just hit, you know, the most beautiful powder snow or something. And you come off after it, you know. And we talk about this in our major too. It's like an afterglow. It's like you're driving along the road and somebody could be pissed off at you going by. And you're like, ah, go ahead, dude, be pissed off. Because it's like, I just went and I just caught, you know, three steelhead, or we just caught a whole bunch of rockfish. It's like you feel content with your life or things that you've done, and it's like
okay. So there's a contentment that you're almost kind of striving for, and I love this. I'd like to just kind of ask you two more kind of basic questions. One, what do you think your future holds for you? I mean, what are you looking to do eventually? Do you want to get married? Do you want to get settled? Do you want to have kids? Do you want to have your own outfitting rigger, whatever it is that you call it out here in Southern Oregon? I mean, what is kind of like the ultimate I'm living the dream moment for Marcus?
I feel like I'm living the dream right now.
That is awesome. It's just because you're on my show, is that why?
Yeah.
And because I fed you and everything.
Yeah, got a definitely good afterglow after that meal right now.
That afterglow was called calories, but and the crack sauce on the bananas Fosters. Yeah. So, but for you, honestly, in about 10, 15 years, 22, 32, I mean, like, I hate to say this, and this is a prejudgment, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people who are just dudes and they're just kind of living in the moment and they're just kind of token up and loving the weed, I ask them about the future and I have difficulty understanding what that's going to look like. And I'm not making any judgments. I just am asking the question. For you, what is your dream?
I guess it would be to find a way to make a decent living doing what I'm doing now. Maybe not doing it in this area the whole time. I definitely sure. see myself kind of moving around a little bit and exploring different areas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just kind of traveling and exploring in that sense. But in hard literal terms, I really don't know.
Do you see a woman and kids in your life too, or
down the road, potentially?
Potentially, but oh, okay.
Yeah,
but I mean, obviously,
right now, it's just adventure and exploring. And if somebody, if a girl comes along that wants to tag along and, you know, live kind of freely and maybe not settle down right away,
get a dog and hitchhike to like
yeah, sure,
somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Kind of like that. Then absolutely.
A free spirit.
Maybe I'm not actively fishing for,
okay,
you know, a girlfriend right now, but.
Yeah, you need good bait for that. And it's the Bananas Fosters recipe, buddy. That's bait for a girl. So here's my last question to you, and I know this is going to sound odd, but I ask this all the time. Knowing I'm a priest, and knowing you just took four priests out, and thank you for not letting us drown or die, and thank you for helping us to catch fish. By the way, you want to go to South Coast Tours. .com.
Yep, just southcoaststores.com.
You can talk to Dave, and if you hear this and Marcus is still around, make sure you go out with Marcus. He's awesome. He even takes pictures of you all, and he makes you look taller and thinner and happy and all that kind of stuff. He makes the fish look even bigger, right? So you can even brag about it. But Marcus, you know I'm a priest. This is going to sound strange, but I just want to hear, what can I do as a priest to be a better priest for people like you? People in this part of the world, people in this culture, people who are outdoorsy. I mean, what could I do to be a good priest, a good person for you? And I'm being very sincere when I ask. Besides tip you better.
What you're doing now, I mean, just being genuine with people and you know, maybe not being afraid to show people like the side other than... Initially, it's like I only see you guys in mass, and it's more formal mm-hmm. in that sense. But even and just seeing you guys out of that context and be like, hey, you guys are chill dudes. It's like hanging out with four priests here having a good time. I think that's awesome. And it, I don't know, maybe more people, you know, knew about that or saw other sides of priests, they would be like, okay, you know, they're just like us.
Yeah. Well, we are. You're just better at fishing than I am, no doubt. But listen, when I come back after this, what I would call very enlightening, kind of in the present moment, using your language, deep dish discussion with Marcus, again, of SouthCoastTours.com. I'm going to come back with my carryout order and just kind of reflect on what this young man has taught me, and I think can teach us a lot about ourselves. I, however, might not do the weed, but I will offer incense. I just want to smoke it. Hey, so listen, when we come back for more Shoot the Shiitake, my deep dish discussion, and again, a special thanks to Marcus. You are awesome. Stick around for more and just stay hungry.
The Bananas Foster recipe that has the sauce that's like quote-unquote crack, very addictive, can be found in my book, Spicing Up Married Life. In 12 chapters, I'm trying to discourage anniversaries and encourage monthiversaries, monthly dinner dates so that couples can have the conversations that leads to conversion, with bite-sized theology on marriage and little chapters with questions that engage deeper conversations, as well as amazing recipes. This is a book that can really help a couple celebrate their wedding day, their anniversary, or even a single person who just wants to learn more about the Catholic Church's teaching on marriage and to help prepare them for a vocation to the married life. All you've got to do is go to shop.fatherleofeeds.com and get Spicing Up Married Life for you and your loved one today. Once again, shop.fatherleofeeds.com. And welcome back to the Deep Dish Discussion. As I was shooting the shiitake with Marcus, I was very impressed, to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, of this conversation, simply because he was willing to do it. And secondly, what he had to say was very worthy for reflection for me. Now, just so that you know, I am not trying to promote in any way pot smoking. That's just not what I do as a priest. Although I will say, I don't think of it as necessarily a moral evil in the same way I look at drinking or I look at smoking. These things are in and of themselves not good for you, but they're not necessarily sinful because it is sometimes just a part of culture. So we've got to engage in a conversation about this, and that's why for all of our premium subscribers, they're going to actually hear from someone in the Portland Archdiocese. He is kind of like an assistant to the Archbishop there, and he actually heads up a task force that talks about and addresses the issue of the pot culture, which is very prevalent in the Pacific Northwest, you know, especially in the Portland area, where there's a lot of problems because people don't understand pot. You know, it's not a chemical. It is a natural-based plant that, unfortunately, you know, some societies have been using it for years. I look at our Native American brothers and sisters. They had a form of pot, and that's part of the peace pipe, people. It kind of got everybody a little chilled. But at the same time, there's a ton of abuse. So before I get too deep into the whole pot discussion, I want to tell you about what I got in this carryout order from my conversation, my shooting the shiitake with Marcus. He was just a cool guy. He was a guy who obviously knew himself. He was a guy who, how shall I say, taught me how to be a good fisherman. And one of the things that he shared with me, something that I've always thought about, especially as Jesus was a carpenter, was teaching fishermen how to fish. Jesus tells his disciples after his resurrection, he shows up along the Sea of Galilee, which is actually a lake. We all know that. And it's beautiful. If you ever want to come on a trip with me, I've got several planned next year. I'll tell you more about it. Just go to fatherleofeeds.com/travel and you'll be able to join me on a trip. But on the Lake of Galilee, Jesus, after the resurrection, says to Simon Peter, James and John and Andrew, they're all out fishing. And he says, have you caught anything? And they say, no. And then Jesus says, well, cast your net on the other side. And there is tons of theology there. When I was there at the Holy Land, our tour manager and tour guide talked about how the fishermen would be in the boat on the lake, of course, but there would be another person kind of on the shore at a high point looking out at the ocean itself or looking at the water itself and making determinations with temperature, which you can see, you know, the different temperature, like there may be a cold zone as opposed to a warm zone because of the sunlight and shade and all that stuff. And also just to see where the rocks might be, but also where the fish is. And that's why Jesus says, cast the nets on the other side, because he could see. He had a perspective. He wasn't just in with them. He was, in a sense, above them. He was, as Marcus would say, 30,000 feet above the view, where you can see things a little bit more clearly. And so in order to be a good fisherman, we got to make sure we have a guide. We just have to make sure we have a guide, someone who can kind of direct us to where the fish might be biting and what kind of fish is out there to kind of make a more appropriate choice of bait, which was another technique, this whole idea of bait. I always think of myself as trying to make my food, whether I'm doing it on my TV show or when I'm cooking at an event or even just the recipes I've got in my book or my website. That, in a way, is just a little bit of bait that I just literally throw out in this ocean called the world, and I'm trying to just get people to take a nibble. And if they take a nibble, maybe they can say, hey, whoever had a hand in making this food isn't so bad. Let me get to know the hand that made this food. And then hopefully, if they can latch onto my hand because of the bait, which is my food, they can at least see where my heart and my mind and my soul is. It's connected to God, who sent his son Jesus, who tells us we got to be fishers of men. So for me as a priest, what did I learn? I got to pay attention to the environment. I have to know what kind of fish are swimming in what kind of schools or what kind of environment, and I have to know the bait. I sometimes think that our evangelization technique really stinks. We're actually putting, like, for example, really bad visuals and bad audio and bad media, and we're kind of throwing it to a bunch of teenagers who would look at this and say, this is so corny, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I mean, it might work with like older people, and that's fine. You know, like a two-camera stand on a TV show, great. But if you're trying to reach young people, guess what, folks? They are not going to take the bait simply because it's ugly or it's just not attractive or relevant to them. So what this guy taught me was really more of an affirmation, something that I've learned. If I'm going to be trying to reach out to different sectors of people, I have to use the right bait. And I have to know the environment. I have to know when the fish are biting. Is it in the daytime, in the afternoon, in the evening? You know, that's stuff that I have to learn. And thankfully, there are people who have fished in those areas before who can, in a sense, teach me the techniques, which basically means I've got to listen to the guides who have been effective in this environment. So, for example, how do we reach teenagers with the message of evangelization? And am I going to ask like some old crusty priest who doesn't have any young people in his parish? No, because he was not effective in harvesting or catching teenage fish. You know who I need to ask? MTV. I need to ask, you know, like the shows that are popular with teenagers. And I have to almost, in a sense, pay attention to the techniques and the bait they are using to catch the attention of the teenagers. So that's something that I am super serious about when it comes to kind of evangelization, because I was using this conversation to learn how to be not only a good priest, but also a good fisherman for souls, which is what all of our responsibilities are. You don't have to be a priest to be a fisherman. You just have to be someone who is willing to be, and I love what Marcus said, patient enough and willing to use the techniques. You know, for him, it was like a chilling, just a chillaxing, yes, I said it, chillaxing experience just to sit out there. And let me tell you, he gave me one of the best definitions for humility. You know, besides saying, you know, staying true to yourself, he gave this really unique definition of basically having an experience that puts things in perspective. It's a 30,000 foot view where the only thing you can say is, wow, and you are filled with awe. That's coming from a pot-smoking 22-year-old, you know, beer-drinking, outdoorsy fisherman, dude. He, deep in his heart, knew what humility is. It's not just for the theologically inclined. It's for the simple people who work with the nature of God, with reality. Everybody can understand humility. I'm going to repeat it again because it was something that I've taken to prayer. It's an experience that puts things in perspective, giving us a 30,000-foot view. And what you see puts you in awe and just makes you say, wow. And I mean, that is just, it's touching for me because, you know, like I talked to the three other priests afterwards. And after Marcus left, and by the way, when he said that he was a good ball player, he is an awesome ball player. We actually started just, you know, pitching some balls and hitting them. And this guy, he is seriously an athlete. I mean, like my three priest friends, they are athletes. They know what they're doing. But this dude was like leagues ahead of them, which literally put me in awe. I was a little humbled by his talent, to be honest with you. But anyway, after he left, the three priests, we all said, he is a really fine person. Granted, the pot smoking, I can't approve of that, you know, and he doesn't even approve of it to a degree. Marcus was very honest in saying, it's just not his thing, you know? I mean, like, he has to know himself and he has to understand that there are going to be times when he wants to do it and times when he doesn't want to do it. And I'm not going to, in a sense, condemn the guy because he smokes pot. I mean, come on. I know a lot of people who smoke pot. It's not my thing, and I hope it's not your thing too. And I'm just grateful that he had the wherewithal to just be able to discern where he gets his real high. And he was able to confess, quote unquote, confess that his real high comes from where? From fishing, from just being outdoors. There is something called a natural high. And so for those people who might be a little offended that I didn't condemn him because he smoked pot, get over yourselves, people. I'm not here to do that. Remember, the point of this show is for me to just listen and to learn. And then I reflect, which is what I'm sharing with you right now. I wasn't asking him questions that would make him try to feel guilty and therefore would kind of make him clam up and not share with me his truth, his reality. That's what I wanted, is his reality. And his reality is he never really smoked pot before until he came to a culture like Southern Oregon or Oregon in general, where it's not only celebrated, it's very accepted. Yet there is an age group, you know, you have to be old enough to do it. And so, you know, that's why I'm going to encourage you to, if you are a premium subscriber, you're going to have a chance to hear from someone who works in the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon, where he talks about how pot usage can be easily abused and it can be very destructive. And it is a gateway drug. It really is. And so let's not kid ourselves. But in Marcus's case, he understood that the one thing he had to do is to be true to himself. And he knows that pot smoking doesn't make him himself. It kind of expands the colors, the green on the trees and the blue of the ocean. And so that is something that I have to say I crave as well. I mean, not to the point where I'm going to be smoking pot, but I have experienced that kind of clarity and the brightness. And you know when that happened for me personally was when I went on a retreat. You know, for some reason, when I go on a retreat, I can just kind of chill, slow down, get the creative juices flowing to put all the stresses aside. In other words, there is a natural way to experience what pot does as now kind of like a produced thing. You know, you have to take the thing that's on the outside and put it into you in order for you to relax. No, not at all. You can actually get to a relaxed state if you're willing to just dig deeper in a more natural way. So for me, when I was on retreat, I would kind of come out of retreat and just realize, my God, things are not as ugly and as gray. things are a little bit more clear for me. I mean, the sky is literally just sometimes bluer after a retreat. I mean, there's some profound smells that I can have. I just need to detox and to kind of clear my mind. So for anyone who is a pot smoker, because it's your way of relaxing, consider stopping it, weaning yourself off of it, because it is addictive, number one. But number two, try doing something a little bit more naturally, like going fishing or going for a hike. How about going out into the country and breathing clean air, you know? How about doing something like just talking out your problems with a good friend who is not going to judge you, but just to help you see that taking stuff and putting it into your system in order to get clarity in the rest of the world, it just seems like an unnecessary and bulky practice. And I'm not judging Marcus in any way, because again, he just seemed to have a clarity because he wasn't, first of all, addicted to it. He was more than anything addicted to the high that comes from something beautiful and natural, such as fishing. So there was a lot that I totally learned from this young man. I mean, and more importantly, he shared with me something, and he never would have known this, but I struggle with kind of being kind of like a hyper man, always trying to work harder, to gain more, to spread the message even bigger. And here's a guy, you know, when I asked him about his future and even about relationships, he just felt a pressure-free life. Oh my God, that is beautiful. To have in a sense, a pressure-free life, to be content with the simple things. What he taught me and kind of challenged me personally was, you know, as much as I have to work in order to continue to grow this movement of food and faith and the whole Plating Grace organization, the whole Shoot the Shiitake, I've got to learn to just be. And I've got to learn to just trust and persevere. Yes, work hard, but make sure that I'm actually enjoying what I do. You know, like he said that as long as he can continue to do what he's doing and enjoy it and make a modest life, he's good. And that kind of attitude, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little jealous of it. I'm a little jealous of it because he just seems to have a carefree freeness. I'm not going to say he is being inconsistent or irresponsible. He wasn't that at all. He was very responsible. He showed up right on time. He was properly dressed for this dinner, and he was very articulate, you know? So here's just a young man, 22-year-old guy, who just showed me not only how to be a good fisher of man, but he also challenged me in understanding what humility is. He kind of helped me to understand that I need to experience a life of contentment. You know, in the Italian culture, if you eat and if you say, I'm full, the chef or the restaurant feels insulted. But if you, at the end of a meal, say, Io sono contento, I'm content, then they take that as a compliment. And I think that's what we got to do with God at the end of the day, and even at the end of, you know, our lives for sure. But as we're examining our conscience at the end of the day, say, am I content with what I have done? I mean, did I enjoy this day today? Were there moments where I felt in awe of God? If not, then that's why people turn to the bottle or to the needle or to the weed. But you've got to be able to do that just by simply taking a time out every day and just quote unquote smelling the roses and seeing the beauty of the flowers and just kind of, you know, like sometimes I will sit in a busy airport and I won't look at my phone and I'll just watch people at the airport. It'll crack me up, you know, especially kids trying to carry their luggage, their parents' luggage. And it just makes me smile. And it's those moments of contentment that Marcus was, whether he knew it or not, was actually preaching to me. He was preaching to me a message of a simplicity of life, so that at one point he mentioned the word afterglow, which is kind of an effect of living a life of contentment in a peaceful way. I just call that a halo. So Marcus, whether you knew it or not, you were teaching me and three other priests a lot about life and priesthood. Can't thank you enough, brother, for taking the time to just shoot the shiitake with me. And I hope you, ladies and gentlemen, enjoyed this. And if you are a premium subscriber, that just basically means If you're given $10 every month to our Shoot the Shiitake movement, I send to you extra content. And this week, I'm going to be sending information on pot smoking and how to deal with it and how to understand it, especially from someone who is heavily immersed in trying to make sure that pot smoking is well managed in the Portland Archdiocese area. So again, we thank you and all of the sponsors for helping us to grow this movement so that we can continue to bring conversion to this world one conversation at a time. So between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake with me, Father Leo, thank you for listening and stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by a public service announcement of the World Meeting of Families 2018. You can learn more at worldmeeting2018.ie, which will be held in Dublin, Ireland on August 21st through 26th with appearances in a special liturgical celebration with Pope Francis and a lot of speakers, including yours truly, me. I'll be speaking at the World Meeting of Families as well, so I look forward to seeing you in Ireland, 21st of August to the 26th, and you can learn more at worldmeeting2018.ie. And thank you for being a premium sponsor. For $10 or more each month, you get premium experience and content in your inbox each week. Thank you for your support, and all you've got to do is go to shoottheshiitake.com/listen so that you can help us bring conversion to this world one conversation at a time.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.